I just wanted to share a few verses from 2 Corinthians this morning. Started in chapter 4, there's a few verses that kind of got me thinking and grabbed my attention. It starts in verse 6, 2 Corinthians 4, verse 6. It says, "Light, for God who said, 'Light shall shine out of darkness,' is the one who has shone in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, so that the surpassing greatness of the power will be of God and not of ourselves." And the first thing that was just caught me in this is just the fact that it is a great treasure, right? Like this knowledge of God in the face of Jesus Christ. The fact that if God has shone into our hearts and allowed our hearts to become enlightened so that we saw our need to have a Savior, if He led us in His kindness to repentance, and He allowed us to see that Jesus Christ is the answer to what we need, then it's like when He first did the creation, the light shone out of the darkness, and it's a treasure. It's not something that we should take lightly. And part of me, I think it helps a little bit to understand like how merciful God is in that, because it says earlier in this chapter. It says that there are those who the devil has actually blinded from being able to see this. That there are those that the devil has actually ensnared and deceived through sin, so that they can't actually, it's veiled. They can't actually see this treasure that is available through Jesus Christ. And for me, it just was a little bit like, you can almost take it lightly. And it was just, I guess, a reminder that to Paul, it was a great treasure, this knowledge of God through Jesus Christ. And it's a treasure that in our walk, we can continue to unearth and understand more and begin know more and more of. But it started with God shining into our hearts. That's what it says, that it says when God shone into our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ. And it is a treasure, and I think it's something that we need to remember to continue to seek for. And it's something that, I don't know, it's just not something we should take lightly. And it is something that I also, like, we don't want to lose that, right? Like, there's those who have been blinded and never seen it. But there are also those who can become blinded to it through the deceitfulness of sin, like through a hardened heart that stops believing, stops seeing Christ as a treasure worth pursuing, and just it becomes just something that you do or that your parents do, some kind of routine. And for Paul, it was nothing of that. Like, it was a great treasure that was like the driving force in his life, was to seek and to know Jesus Christ. And it just was a challenge to me to reflect on that and say, like, where is it at for me? Like, where is my treasure at? What is my focus? Do I see it this way? And so that was the first part. And then the second part, it says that this treasure is in earthen vessels. It said that, but we have this treasure in earthen vessels so that the surpassing greatness of the power will be of God and not from ourselves. So this treasure, this knowledge of God in the face of Jesus Christ, does give an exceptional power to our lives. And I think to the extent that we value it like treasure, we will begin to know that power. And that power is the forgiveness of our sins and the power of Jesus Christ to wash us clean of all we've ever done. But I think all of us here know and believe that power goes, it's far greater than that. It's the power to transform our lives. It's the power to see that we are to be a new creation and to be transformed, as it said at the end of chapter 3, that we're going to be transformed into the same image of Jesus Christ from glory to glory. That's the power that it's talking about, that is the new covenant, that is the gospel that Paul preached, that is part of this treasure that is revealed in the face of Jesus Christ, that as we see Jesus, as we begin to understand and know him and to see God's glory, we are to be changed into that same image from glory to glory. So there is a power that should be revealed in our lives through the knowledge of Jesus Christ. Like if it's just head knowledge, there won't be power. But if there's a genuine knowledge of Jesus Christ as our Savior and friend and Lord, there will be a power that is released in our lives, which is a wonderful, wonderful promise and reality. But it says that power is going to be in earthen vessels. And I was reflecting on, like, what does that mean? Like, why did God do it that way? Well, the most obvious, it says right here, the first and foremost is that we who have that power working in our lives would realize that it's from God and not from ourselves. That there would be no delusion or confusion as to where the power comes from. And it can be a little tricky because I think all of us mentally would say, like, no, it's all God in my life. It's all the work of God. And it's like, it's easy to give verbal assent to that because we know that's the right answer. But I was reflecting on, like, how are there other tests? Are there other ways to see that? And the one that was obvious to me was in how we view others, how we treat others, how we see others who are weaker than us, who are maybe lacking that power in some ways. If we see a shortcoming or if we see evidence of a lack of power in somebody else's life, how does that make us feel? What is our response to that? Because if our response to that, it can be concern, it can be care, it can be, I'm not saying it's something we should just overlook, but if there's a looking down, if there's a frustration, if there's an impatience, if there's a despising a little bit that weakness that we see in someone else, maybe because it makes our lives a little harder or more inconvenient, then I think maybe you should just do a little check and say, where do I think I got my power from? Where did anything good that has come in my life, where did it come from? Because all of a sudden, I think sometimes we maybe lose sight of the fact that we are just earthen vessels, and that the intent and the focus here, and what is it, I'm going to read a few more verses about that to give a little more clarity and more thought is, but if we're struggling not to judge others, if we're struggling not to look down on others, then I would question or challenge you to say, where did any of God's goodness in your life come from? Did it come from your striving, your efforts, your faith? And I don't see that in a negative sense. Like, we all need to have a faith that is rock solid that we can stand on. But if somehow we lord it over others and look down on others because they're struggling to believe, and I don't know, it all speaks of the same thing to me, of not truly having that humility that comes through weakness. That's where it comes through. It comes through weakness. Like, when I read this, and I think it's important to understand what Paul means here by earthen vessels, because it's not always the same context. You read in his letter to Timothy, he talks about vessels of earthenware and precious things, and some for honor, some for dishonor. In that context, we don't want to be earthen vessels. We want to be precious, honorable vessels, useful to the master. But in this case, Paul is talking about vessels that are earthen, that are dust, that are clay, specifically because I think he's referring to the weakness, that God made us weak, but he made us weak for a purpose so that his power could work in our lives and transform us. But I just was reflecting on whether I have truly understood that or whether I can accept weakness in myself but won't accept it in others. It's just a good challenge to reflect on. So anyways, let's just quickly read a few more verses why I think that. So right after he says that the surpassing greatness of the power and will be from God and not from ourselves because the treasures in earthen vessels, he goes on to say, we are afflicted in every way, but not crushed, perplexed, but not despairing, persecuted but not forsaken, struck down but not destroyed, always carrying about in the body the dying of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may also be manifested in our body. And I was just reading, and I think there's a connection between those two verses about the earthen vessels and the fact that this is the life that God had called Paul to, where he was living a life of being afflicted but not crushed, perplexed but not despairing. I mean, these are places of weakness. I mean, if you were perplexed, if we're perplexed, that is a weak place. I can tell you that. When we don't know what to do, when we don't have the answer, when we're sitting here going, God, what's the answer? I don't see the path ahead. I'm not sure what the next step is here, God. I'm not sure what the answer is to this problem in my own life or this problem in someone else's life who I love and I want to see change come to them. I don't know what the answer is, God. That is a place of weakness. That is a place where the earthen vessel is being made clear to us. But in each case, they're not crushed. It's not to bring about despair. He said, persecuted, but not forsaken, struck down, but not destroyed. In all of these cases, Paul is referring to areas where God has allowed him and brought him to a place of weakness so that he would have no uncertainty about where the tremendous power that was working in his life was coming from. And I think that's part of the reason why when Paul went to these places, like, you read in these churches about, like, in Galatia, how, like, they were ready to give their own, pluck their own eyes out and give them to Paul. And they saw him as a caring father or a nursing mother. Like, in my mind, I'm not going to read specific verses about it, but in my heart, there is a correlation there. That as Paul was able to be used by God to come alongside hurting people and help people who desperately needed a Savior and encourage them and give them hope, it was coming from a place of weakness. And that was part of how come God was able to use him so powerfully. And I just, in my own life, I just was wondering sometimes if I've actually even seen it where I've been allowed to be made weak, where different circumstances, not like what Paul went through, but different circumstances have brought me to a place of weakness. All of a sudden, you're able to come alongside with care and compassion for others that just aren't there when we're just in place where we're just not necessarily so acutely aware of the fact that we are weak earthen vessels and that we need Jesus Christ. I can kind of, I'm not going to read it, but some of the other verses that come to mind on this topic are like, blessed are the poor in spirit. I think there's a correlation there. Like there are those who are blessed because they see that they are desperately needy of Jesus Christ. And I just question if we go through our days and don't see that need or don't experience that need, is it because it's just smooth sailing right now? Or maybe it's even because we're not necessarily seeing the areas where God wants to be shaping us and changing us and helping us to grow. I'll just read a couple more verses. To confirm this, you can read in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 9. I think this is a real clear place because you can correlate the two, the power and the weakness here, where Paul talks about his thorn in the flesh. In verse 7, he says, because of the surpassing greatness of the revelations, for this reason, to keep me from exalting myself, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to torment me, to keep me from exalting myself. Concerning this, I implored the Lord three times that it might leave me. And he has said to me, my grace is sufficient for you. My power is perfected in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, I will rather boast about my weaknesses, so that the power of Christ may dwell in me. Therefore, I am well content with weaknesses, with insults, with distresses, with persecutions, with difficulties for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong. I just think Paul, the faith with which he approached this is just such a great example to all of us. Like he was going through these difficulties of persecutions and buffetings of Satan. I personally believe he had a sickness that was challenging him and holding him back, or he felt it was holding him back. It felt it was keeping, like Paul's attitude was like, God, like, I want this to go because it's holding me back from fulfilling what you've called me to. I want to go and preach to more churches. I want to go take more journeys and lead more people to know you. And if this was not here, I could do that. That was his attitude. I'm obviously expounding on what it says, but I'm confident that was his attitude. I don't even think he was necessarily, I mean, he wasn't enjoying it, but I think in his heart, just because of who Paul was, I think his primary concern was preaching the gospel, and his conclusion was, I could do that better if I wasn't held back by this thorn in the flesh. But then in coming to God and asking him to remove it, God showed him that, Paul, you actually need to be made weak. You need to stay weak so that my power can work in your life. And when Paul realized that, he just embraced it. He said, I'll rejoice in my weaknesses. I will be glad in my weaknesses. I will boast in my weaknesses so that the power of Christ can work through me. And that's, to me, just a great challenge to my faith, because obviously in sharing these things, I can say, like, I don't think anyone, Paul included, nobody likes, it's not pleasant to be made weak. It's not an enjoyable thing. I don't think it ever got any more pleasant to experience that thorn in the flesh after Christ showed him its purpose and that it wasn't going to be removed. But what did happen is Paul had an attitude shift that said, I'm going to embrace this because God's power is going to work in my life through this difficulty. And that faith and that understanding allowed him to turn this weakness into a channel for God's power to flow through his life. And that was through faith. That is faith, to say, this weakness, this thing I don't enjoy that is challenging me, I'm going to let it produce God's power in my life. That is tremendous faith. And I think that's the conclusion of the challenge to me as I read through these things, because I don't enjoy weakness. I don't hope to tomorrow wake up and have a tremendous trial that makes me really, really see my weakness. But I do want to have an attitude that when these things come, to remember this, to say, you know what? This is an opportunity for God's power to work in my life. This is part of the gospel, that in weakness, we will be made strong. In weakness, we will find his power working in our lives. And I can also say, in weakness, we can be useful to God, because we can come alongside others. We won't, when people want to pour out their hearts to us and express their own weaknesses and their own difficulties, it's not going to be a frustration to us. It's going to be something where we can come alongside and say, I believe God can change you. And I believe God can help, because he's helped me. I too am weak. I too have my struggles, but God has helped me. I've seen his power work in my life, and he can help you. If we're able to have that heart attitude, then we can really see that power is released, and we can just see some of the blessing of this. So anyways, these are just a few thoughts. Hopefully they can help be helpful and be a blessing, because we know we're all going to experience it. And I just hope for myself and for you that when it comes, we can embrace it and see the blessing that can come through it, of having God's power released in our life, and also knowing that in a place of weakness, we can be a blessing to others.